Time now for this week's Instant Wisdom. Hey, we're in a federal election campaign, so what a good time to talk about the importance of telling the truth. Okay, don't roll your eyes. After all, I get it. From an early age, we've been taught that through stories like The Boy Who Cried Wolf or Pinocchio. We've been told to tell the truth, or at least don't lie. Yeah, come on. We've clearly arrived at a time in our social discourse. Look at Twitter, look at Facebook, and in our political affairs where purposely misleading statements and outright lying seem to be commonplace. I love this comment by the Wall Street Journal's Peggy Noonan. She's looking at Obamacare, but it could have been applied to so many leaders, political parties, special interest groups on so many different issues. But she said, the leaders of our government have not felt throughout the process that they had any responsibility to be honest. I mean, it's hard to escape the observation that honesty and integrity are not high on our list of priorities any longer when it comes to politics and political discourse. For many, it's okay when our guy lies, or it's okay to issue misleading statements when we agree with the position. So we may have heard the parable of the boy who cried wolf or the story of Pinocchio, but we didn't learn the lesson. In this week's installment of Instant Wisdom, Jordan Peterson talks about his eighth rule from the massive bestseller 12 Rules for Life, an anecdote to chaos, where he talks about the importance of not lying and instead telling the truth. Here's the clip.
Lies make you weak and you can feel it. It's the antithesis of meaning, I would say, because meaning is associated with the truth. So if you're lying, you're at the opposite pole of that. That's the deceit part. And it makes you weak. You think, well, I'll lie and I'll get away with it. It's like, no, you won't. You cannot get away with warping the structure of being. Well, that's why the arrogance comes in. It's like, well, I can lie and get away with it. It's like, I see. Here's your theory. There's all this reality around you that you don't comprehend at all. And there's not that much of you. There's a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do something that isn't in harmony with that. And it's going to work. That's your theory. It's like,
that's some serious narcissism. Yeah, yeah. And yet we all do that to some degree, or at least at some point in our lives, right? All think we can manage everything.
Well, it's part because you can get away with it for a short period of time, right? That, so you think, well, I've got away with it so far. It's like, yeah. It's like that funny line in The Simpsons. Bart comes up to Homer and says, Dad, this is the worst day of my life. And Homer says, the worst day of your life so far, Bart. The worst day of your life so far.
Time now for this week's quote of the week. Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, which I'd recommend you read, was written in 1957. Incredibly, has been on a bestseller list for 4 decades. If you want to increase your education, read the book. It sold tens of millions of copies. But what's really amazing, as you'll see from this quote, is that it's as pertinent today as it was over 50 years ago. In quotes, when you see that in order to produce, you need to obtain permission from men who produce nothing. When you see that money is flowing to those who deal not in goods, but in favors. When you see that men get rich more easily by graft than by work, and your laws no longer protect you against them, but protect them against you, you may know your society is doomed. Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand. I would, as I say, recommend it to complete anyone's education or to enhance anyone's education. But that brings me to my shocking stat of the week. What are the causes of death? I'll give you an example. At the UN, Greta Thunberg said, even at 1 degree of warming, we're seeing an unacceptable loss of life and livelihoods. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. Well, is that verified by the facts? And allow me to make clear why this is important. You got to decide if you're in that side that thinks the big concern over climate change is potential loss of life, or are you just simply virtue signaling? Or is it a chance to gain political power? See, if you are actually concerned about the impact on humans, then you'll be interested in this. As the following statistics are compiled by the worlddata.org, and I want to just reiterate something I said a moment ago. I was inspired by reading Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation because they're dedicated to making the biggest difference they can globally. So they're tackling monstrously big problems that governments have been unable to successfully do. They're partners too. It's not just their foundation, but remember, they have partners like Warren Buffett and many, many others. By the way, my wife suggested I watch a new documentary on Netflix. It's called Inside Bill Gates' Mind, which spends a lot of time on the foundation. I thought the approach to the problems was fascinating. I'd really recommend it. But I'll give you an example for example. 1.7 million people a year, all from developing nations, die from diarrhea because they don't have a sewage system to get rid of human waste, which then ends up in the drinking water sometime down the road. So the foundation has spent tens of millions of dollars developing an off-the-grid standalone toilet that can remove harmful byproducts of human waste, which is the main culprit in so many of the deaths. 2 billion people don't have access to clean sanitation. As I said, 1.7 million die a year from diarrhea. That's why the foundation took it on. So that's why they decided that's where the money goes. So let me give you an example of one of the leading causes of death in the world today. Cancers, about 9 million people die a year. Respiratory disease, 3.5 million. Oh, cardiovascular should have been my first one, sorry. 17.6 million a year. Cardiovascular disease leads the causes of death. Cancer is second. Respiratory diseases are third. Something like neonatal deaths, 1.73 million people a year. I mentioned diarrhea, 1.7 million. Tuberculosis, 1.2. HIV AIDS, 1 million. Malaria, 719,000. Protein energy malnutrition, 236,000. Fire, 132,000. Conflict, 116,000. So what about heat-related deaths? Hot or cold, by the way. Heat-related. So it could be hot, could be cold. About 56,000 a year. And by the way, people die of cold compared to heat at about a 17-to-1 ratio. Terrorism, 35,000. And what may surprise you, given the massive coverage, how many people die from natural disasters? Could be earthquakes, that's the biggest factor, by the way. Hurricanes, cyclones, other extreme weather. The total in 2017, 7,000, which is 0.02% of total deaths. So the question becomes, if we were to spend our money, what area would you put it toward to get the biggest bang for the buck in terms of changing people's lives, saving people's lives? Well, you would have to have the information like this. What are the causes of death? You don't have the factors leading up to it. That's what we do with further study. But still, it's very revealing.
Bye.
Time now for this week's Goofy Award. And this, I don't usually go in this direction, but you may have heard the story. This week, a 25-year-old Surrey man, Nicholas Carvineras, was sentenced after pleading guilty for two charges of dangerous driving causing death, one charge of dangerous driving causing bodily harm. Just after midnight, November 4th last year, in the pouring rain, Mr. Carvineras, drove his Jeep Cherokee at 167 miles per hour. He got that 167 kilometers an hour, 167 kilometers an hour in a 50-kilometer zone. He crossed the median on 88th Avenue in Surrey, hit a Ford Escape head-on, killing 50-year-old Sarah Dillon, wife, mother of three. Collision also injured passengers, 19-year-old Paige Nagata, who later died of her injuries, seriously injuring Olivia Killian, who suffered a shattered spleen, liver, and brain damage. I mean, really, you can't imagine the grief and the sorrow for the families. I do have some personal experience with that, and it tells me the sadness is unbearable, never goes away. But the Goofy's not about the sentence of 20 months in provincial prison, not about the 3 years probation or the 5-year driving ban. For most of us, that seems light, but let's be clear. There's no sentence that can wipe away the loss. And let me also be clear personally, I don't know the sentencing guidelines. I don't know the precedents that have already been set or any other legal considerations that will go into a judge's decision. So I'm not commenting about that. I'm not qualified. The Goofy is about this young man and his driving record that included 7 previous speeding convictions, 2 24-hour driving prohibitions, 2 2-month driving prohibitions, tickets for using an electronic device while driving, and are you ready, driving while prohibited. Think of that list. 7 speeding convictions already. My question is, how did he still have a license? How did he get insurance from the Public Insurance Corporation of BC? He should have already been dealing with a lengthy suspension, years. He had already proven he can't be trusted to drive within the legal limits. Now he's killed 2 people, seriously injuring another. Forget the judge's ruling of a 5-year driving prohibition. Why would he ever be allowed to drive again? At some point, your actions have to have consequences. Driving is not a basic universal right. You're not being forced to take transit, walk. You know, I mean, being forced, someone has to walk, someone has to take a bike or a taxi, maybe someday in BC ride sharing. That's not a major hardship. Millions of people do it already. They don't own a car, they don't drive. How is this person ever allowed to drive again? I mean, what would it take to be banned for driving for life? Our standards of responsibility are incredibly low. I find this unbelievable. By the way, sign up for the seminar right now. Go to mikesmoneytalks.ca. It's about to start with Andrew Rulin. Protect and prosper through the coming global market chaos.